may be seated. The psalmist writes, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains, whence shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord. He who made the heaven and earth, he will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Welcome to this memorial service for Harold Kern, a very loved human being, a very loved brother in Christ, a very loved family member. If we gather today to honor his memory and honor the God that sent him to heaven shortly, just a while back, we reflect on God's word. That's where we need to get our help and our comfort, because as the psalmist says, he is the creator. I want to announce that there will be a meal after the service when we get done at the cemetery with the graveside. Come right back here to the church, and in the basement we'll have a wonderful meal together and have fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. As we're here to honor a son of the living God, Harold Kern, Lord, we thank you for the blood that over 2,000 of years ago, Lord, the blood that rolled down the cross, it trickled down the cross onto the ground, onto the very earth that the man who hung on the cross created. Father, we honor you. And we thank you today for the assurance of salvation. Because at this point in life, Lord, for Harold, he's there. He's cashed in on the wonderful promises that Jesus made to him all of his life. And he's lived a life that honored God. He lived a life that was exemplary of a Christian man. And we gather together today to thank you, Lord, for his salvation and for the wonderful opportunity we've all had to know him, to rub shoulders with him. We have been truly blessed. And so we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll now have a song, one of Harold's favorites, The Old Rugged Cross.
Till my trophies at last I lay. shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where His glory forever I'll share. So I cherish the old love cross, till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Son-in-law Carmen has some family comments for us today.
That from this unassuming man, that he was a real war hero. He never spoke. some of the most intense combat of the Korean War. And yet again, as I repeat myself, he never spoke about it. But most veterans in that generation did not like to share his military experience with his family until recently. Max Eady was often fond of telling the story that when Harold was in the hospital recovering from his combat wounds in Korea, he was in the hospital getting birth to Kathy. He was in the hospital at his Canadian plant. He served his country for over 7 years in the active army, and then spent another 10 years in the Kansas Army National Guard, achieving the rank of staff sergeant. Harold was a highly regarded person in the community. As many of you know, Harold worked for the Cloud County School in different maintenance positions for over 40 years. He spent time primarily with the Jamestown and Concordia High School during this time. He was a very dedicated public servant to the community, and he spent countless hours as the school building manager maintaining the school infrastructure he was entrusted so that the students could have a safe and comfortable learning environment. How many generations was he responsible for in 40 alone? And he really enjoyed interacting with the students during all of the years he worked there. After his retirement, he became restless. So he spent the next 10 years in various jobs to keep busy, such as bus driver, kitchen worker for the school system, and volunteering as a Meals on Wheels delivery driver here in Concordia. Always getting on his time. First and foremost in his life, Harold was a family man. He and Maxine made their home and raised their children in the Concordia area. Harold was the proud father of 4 children, 9 grandchildren, and 12 great-grandchildren. And more to come. His family was the center of the world, and he was always a positive and strong example to his family. He instilled the importance of hard work and strong personal ethics in his family, and he lived his life accordingly. Harold and Maxine had a wonderful marriage together, married for 67 and a half years. They prevailed together through good times and bad times, but always working together as a loving team. I personally have often told my wife that I use her parents' marriage as an example for our marriage. They were loving partners in life who overcame every obstacle. The family recently celebrated his 90th birthday, a milestone that he never thought he would achieve due to his medical issues. Today we are celebrating his life and his legacy, which will live on to his family, as he was a positive role model to us and to all who knew him. I'd like to take just a short time now to share with you some snippets and memories that were submitted by his grandchildren to me. If you would just please bear with me how their grandchildren remember their grandfather. One said, "I remember when Grandpa drove a school bus. I don't remember the time while they were walking on the street of Concordia, and a handicapped girl came up to him and gave him a big hug. He used to ride the bus." Another one says, "I remember getting haircuts with Grandpa." Grandpa was a family barber, by the way. He didn't know his barber shop. He learned it by hearing the military, so it was important. Grandsons especially, they don't have their haircuts, they have military styles of grandpa. Another one says, I remember Grandpa converting his carport into a garage. This is one of my personal favorites. Remember how Grandpa always ordered hamburgers and fries at a fancy restaurant. Even when that restaurant was a seafood restaurant. strap, I took him out to buy new school clothes. Remember when he was delivering Meals on Wheels? Grandpa was an adventure store. One of the grandchildren said, I remember Grandpa would always reinvent an old tool to make it work instead of buying a new one. And all Grandpa always had a great garden. He loved his garden. He had such a great son. The grandchildren said they reminded Grandpa and Grandma living the simple lifestyle. How active he was in church. And how Molly and Larry Thompson were two people from charity. They remember their fishing trip with their grandfather to the Republic River. Another one says, during the holidays, when we all got together, the family all came together, the family loved to play cards at the kitchen table. One of them said, they're playing pitch card games with Grandpa. Grandpa would always shoot the boom in his bid and have nothing in his card, but somehow he'd always win. This food with Grandpa was another illustration that the Salina grandchildren remember. Grandpa liked to eat, especially ham and beans, tacos and fries. And to me, if you'd like to might imagine with my name, I come from an Italian background. Grandpa loved spaghetti and french fries. I would never understand that. Tears that he had gone, or you can smile because he had lived. your eyes and pray that he'll come back. Or you can open your eyes and see all that he's left. Your heart can be empty because you cannot see him. Or it's full of love and spirit. You can turn back on tomorrow because of yesterday. Or you can remember him only that he is gone. Or you can cherish his memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind. You can empty and turn your back. Or you can do what he wants. Smile. Open your eyes, love, and go on. Dad, we will miss you.
Thank you, Carmen, for those wonderful words. Dawn and Dita will now sing for us another one of Farrell's favorite songs, Amazing Grace.
As Carmen was sharing some of the family memories, I have one. The family's heard it before. In fact, I think you have the pictorial evidence of this. I started out in a little one-room country schoolhouse, quite content out there, only to be learned after my fourth grade year that they were shutting our school down and making us come to the big city of Concordia. Petrified, I didn't want to do it. But that summer, I don't know if this is still the practice or not, but that summer, a gentleman in a school bus pulled into our yard. He drove the entire route prior to school, stopped, and met with each one of the families. That was my first meeting with Harold Kern. And I still was a little bit apprehensive. I'd met the guy, seen the big yellow bus that I was going to get on. After the first ride, which was really tense for me, I came back to my parents and I told them, I said, it's going to be okay. This man's a Christian. The whole way, every time that he drove us, he was whistling, humming, or singing hymns. Harold truly loved these hymns, and they occupied a great deal of his day. So both of the songs that my daughter and I have sung today, I heard from my school bus driver many years ago.
Memories of the Kern family go way back, way back to my childhood. I grew up across the street from this family. My early spiritual life began at a small four-square church on West 2nd Street where Maxine had me in VBS. Can you imagine what she went through? Harold and Maxine have been a premier couple at Concordia Wesleyan Church for a very long time. I hear their names mentioned all the time, and they have been loved and missed by this church family since they moved to Lynchburg. And there have been many prayers, I know, have gone up for them in the time they've been gone. When they could no longer make it to church, I called on them and always enjoyed the good fellowship we had in their front room. And most of the time, I always got a great cup of coffee. I always looked forward to seeing them because I knew I would be blessed. I truly miss those visits. Harold was such a giant of the faith. You couldn't be around him without his strong faith influencing you in some way. I always walked away from our visits at their home feeling refreshed in my own faith. Harold was one of the three senior men in this church family that really spoke into my life. When I name them, many of you will probably nod yes. Don Kirk, Ray Lidke, and Harold Kern. These men didn't have to say anything to me to speak into my walk with God. I just watched the way they walked with God, and that was enough for me. They were all a product of the Holy Spirit. When I found out that Harold had passed on to the Lord, a passage of scripture came to my mind instantly. Pastor David stuck his head in my office door like he does many times when a member of our church family's passed on, and he said, "Our brother Harold is with Jesus." And I knew the last time I saw Harold in the hospital, I knew it wouldn't be long till he went home. But this passage of scripture just instantly hit my mind when I heard that news. It's in the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. I'll read it for us. It really reminds me of Harold's spiritual walk. "With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings? With yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams and 10,000s of breasts of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with his God." Doesn't that sound like Harold? I thank God that scripture just came to my mind, because if I were to describe, if you were here today and you didn't know Harold, and I was asked to describe you to Harold and what he was like, I would probably just read that scripture. Because he was one of the most humble people. He wasn't quiet about his faith. That's not what I'm saying. But he was one of the most humble people. He lived a life constantly of thanksgiving and praise. And I'm going to tell you honestly, there were times when I went over to see he and Maxine when I was kind of, you know, he had one of those days and I was kind of in the flesh and I was kind of grumpy and, you know, and I'd sit down, and when I walked in the door, I just had this vision of them just blessing me. And it always happened. I walked out of there repentant of my attitude, thankful for my salvation, and so blessed by my relationship with them. That's the kind of man that Harold Kern was. But the good news we have today at this memorial service, the true good news, happened many years ago. When Harold bowed his knee, confessed his sins to the Lord Jesus Christ, and realized his need for a shepherd, his need for a savior, his need for salvation. And if I were to ask my brother Harold, I didn't have this opportunity, but there's no question in my mind. I can just see me sitting in the front room looking at Harold and saying, Harold, if I do your service, what do you want me to say? There's no doubt in my mind he would say, tell them about Jesus. So that's what I'm going to do today for my brother Harold. A wonderful man, a wonderful life. We've heard a lot about him today, and there's so much. Like Carmen said, I get frustrated sometimes as a pastor when I do a service for someone like this, because how in the world can we possibly focus on all of the wonderful things about them and the wonderful things that they've done for us? I personally believe that when we human beings have an opportunity like we've had to rub shoulders with, to go to church with, to go to KFC with, to ride the bus with, when we have the opportunity to live next to someone like this man, we are so blessed. They become a gift of God to each one of us. And truly, that's what I saw Harold in my life. He was a gift of God to me. I was humbled in his presence. Harold would want me to share with you the saving faith that took him all the way home, and he's there now. All the things that we read in the book of Revelation about heaven, all the things that we read in the Bible about God's blessings and being with God, and we read about Elijah and seeing the trumpet, the chariot there, and the flaming altar, and all the things we read. Folks, the reality is he's seen it all now. He's there. And he's cashed in on the promise of salvation that Jesus made him many years ago. And he lived out his Christian life in faithfulness, in power. He was a powerful man, but in humility as well. There are so many misunderstandings today in our culture around the world of heaven. So many misunderstandings today about how does a person get to heaven? What happens when a person passes on? What happens when death grasps them and takes them out of this world? And Jesus had so much to say about those things. And I'd like to go to the third chapter of John, one of my favorite places to go to preach the gospel, because it's so simple, so easy to understand. The world and our culture has tried to make it so difficult, and so many people are swimming in a pond of unbelief. Not knowing. People can't believe what they haven't heard. And if they haven't heard the truth, they can't act on it. And so today I want to share with you the truth about salvation. The very salvation that Harold experienced in his life. And folks, I can't believe, if Harold hadn't experienced this salvation that he has experienced today, this would be a very sad day for me and for all of us here. I don't like doing services for people that didn't walk with Jesus. But I love doing this one today. And I'm so honored to do this for the family and for my brother Harold. Early in Jesus' ministry, he encountered a man named Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee. And a little history behind this, because you must know before we get in here, John 3 doesn't say this, but Jesus and the Pharisees did not get along. Jesus did not like the Pharisees. They did not like him. They were the keepers of the law, and Jesus came into this world to fulfill the law. He didn't come to bring another religion. Religion was already on the planet, and it quite honestly wasn't doing very many people any good. He was the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophets who had prophesied of his birth and his coming. They prophesied of his death and his resurrection. They prophesied of his kingdom on this earth for 1,000 years, and that's yet to come. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you? But Jesus didn't get along with the Pharisees. And that's the backdrop in what we're talking here. Past John chapter 8, actually, when he gets into a big squabble with the Pharisees, they accused him of being demon-possessed. And Jesus didn't talk to the Pharisees after that. He knew they had a reprobate mind. Many of them did. John chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as teachers, for no one can do the signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. For the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it's going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" See, that's still the big question today. Nothing's really changed. How can these things be? The big question in Jesus' ministry as he rubbed shoulders with humanity was, who is this man? Who is he really? Many people saw him as the illegitimate son of Joseph and Mary. Many saw him as the carpenter's son. Many saw him as a rabbi, and many saw him as a fake. But the way Jesus lived out his life proved to the world it was a testimony that he truly was the Son of God. It's interesting to see that Nicodemus, this Pharisee, comes to him by night. Frankly, I think he was a coward. Because the truth is, if a Pharisee had been seen coming to talk to Jesus one-on-one, whether it be night or day, he would have had a tough time back at the Pharisee camp. And he knew that. It was kind of like trying to play both sides at the same time. He was coming to ask Jesus about the questions that he had. And the amazing thing is, Nicodemus didn't ask Jesus about eternal life. He doesn't ask him. Jesus jumps right into it. Jesus knew what was on this man's mind. And so he talked about eternal life. He talked about everlasting life. He answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Years ago, I wondered, what did Jesus mean when he said, "Truly, truly"? Because he says it all over the gospel. And there is no Greek, it means, listen up. Listen up. When you were in school and you had a teacher, I had a math teacher one time say to me, "Stand by my desk in school," because I was really poor in math, and I just really wouldn't get into the class. I'd sit there and daydream. And he came by one day, and he stood by my desk, looked at me, and he says, "Bob Burns, listen up." So in reality, that's what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus. I'm telling you where it's at. I'm telling you the bottom line. You better listen up. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Water represents physical birth. Only one man has gotten into this earth and bypassed the normal biological process of human birth, and that was Jesus Christ. You have to be born into this world of a woman. And secondly, he says, and the Spirit. You have to be born of the Spirit. So you have to experience physical birth first, and then a spiritual rebirth. What does that amount to? Folks, it's very simple. God has made it so simple for us, but we try to make it so difficult. We have to humble ourselves. We have to admit before God that I'm a sinner. And in my 18 years of ministry and my 45 years as being a Christian and talking to people before I was ever a minister, I have never found one single person yet who wouldn't admit to being a sinner. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that's why Jesus came. God had to find a way because we were separated from God because of our sin. He drove Adam and Eve out of the garden after they sinned in the third chapter of Genesis, never to return, and he put an angel at the gate of the garden with a flaming sword to guard the tree of life so that they could not have access to it again. And life got hard for Adam and Eve because they sinned. And because they sinned, sin spread to all of their offspring, all the way clear up until today. We all, you know, I love the genealogy thing is a big thing, you know, nowadays, and people are sending in their DNA and so forth. You know, I don't have to do that. I know where I go back to. I go back to Adam and Eve. And that's why I was a sinner. We have to come to Him and admit our need for a Savior. We have to admit we've sinned. Sin is simply our inability as human beings to obey the laws of God. The Ten Commandments was the law. Sometimes I'll talk to folks and they'll say, oh, I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because I'm a good person. And I say, okay, have you ever stolen anything? You ever said something bad about somebody behind their back? You ever take the Lord's name in vain? You ever look at someone with lust in your heart? And it goes on and on and on. Have you honored the Sabbath? Don't take very long. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is God sent His only begotten Son into this world to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin and the sins of mankind. Will everyone come to salvation? Absolutely not. Many will pass up the gift of salvation that God has made available to us. But the wise and prudent servant is the one who admits their sin, their need for a Savior, and says yes to Jesus. We ask Him to forgive us for our sin. We ask Him to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, and from that point on, help us live our lives the way Harold lived. That was his life. I couldn't get up today and talk about my brother. We couldn't get up and talk about our father-in-law. We couldn't get up and say things about Harold without realizing that the Holy Spirit made him who he was. And that was the result of his humbling himself and coming to Jesus and ask Him for forgiveness. If you do that, if you come to Jesus and you admit your sin and you humble yourself and humbly ask Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, I guarantee you, 1 John 1:9, I learned this very early in my Christian life for a reason. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how you come into the kingdom of God. That's how you're forgiven. And that's how you access the door of heaven. All this man heard when he came up to the door of heaven was, "Welcome, enter into the joy of the Lord, my good and faithful servant." It's a glorious day. We've lost a friend. We've lost a father. We've lost a father-in-law and a grandpa. We feel that loss. But Harold hasn't lost anything. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that our brother and friend Harold has crossed over to the gates of glory. Thank You, Father, that there's no doubt in anyone's mind here today that knew Him well of where he's at. He lived a life that was exemplary of a Christian man who needed God. He walked humbly with you. He blessed all of those around him. You couldn't help but be around him and be blessed. He had such a gentle, quiet nature, and he was so powerful in the Spirit because of that. We'll miss him. I miss him. I've missed him for many months now, many years now, 3 years now I've missed him. But God will see him again. I pray for every person here today that's heard the gospel, the simple news about Jesus. And if they don't know you as Lord and Savior, Harold would want them today to humble themselves. Harold would want them to come to Jesus. Harold would want them to come into the kingdom of God and experience the wonderful joy that he's experienced. Thank you for him, Lord. He was a gift from you to us. And we appreciate your love. Now, as we leave this place this morning to go to the cemetery and conclude the service, bless the family, comfort the family, Lord, I pray. May there be good fellowship at the meal afterwards. And may we have many good things to say to one another. We bless you and thank you today. In Jesus' name, amen.